to Apothecary After Dark.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Apothecary After Dark. It's Amityville Apothecary's official podcast, what we talk about when we lock the door and we kick all the customers out. I'm Dina, co-owner of the Apothecary, and I'm here with my business partner in crime, Danielle.
Hi guys, I'm Danielle Deasy, and we have a very special guest with us today. Miss Stacey Ann Forrester is our resident astrologer.
Boop, boop. Yeah. Hi, everyone. Great to be on the podcast and excited to share with what's coming up this summer because it's this really exciting astrology happening right now.
So I'm a little nervous because the astrology
Don't be nervous.
This spring was a little bit wild, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I think the theme of 2025 has been big changes, right?
Big change, yeah. And there's this energy of like musical chairs, you know, that energy of like, you know, the music is playing, you're going around, everyone wants to find their chair, but, you know, before the music stops. And the thing to remember, you know, you have this anxiety building inside of you because you're hoping to get a chair. You will get a chair. There's going to be lots of changes happening between this year, following through early next 2026. But 2026 is when it's go time. Everything has been through the change. It's there. It's settled into new signs.
We're playing musical chairs, but we're not short a chair. We're just changing locations.
Yes, think about it as we're all going through major shifts, major transition.
The thing I remember about that game is everybody's like so anxious as they're creeping around those chairs and they're ready to knock someone over. And I'm feeling that energy like in society right now. Like there's a lot of wild tension and like questioning of like, what's happening right now? So like, it's interesting. I look forward to learning more about the astrology and like why that is.
Yeah, and it's because all the major outer planet, we call these transpersonal planets because they move so slowly. Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, they take forever to change signs. And when they do, it's like dawning of a new era. Mm. And we're in it right now. It started last year with Pluto entering Aquarius in November to stay until 2044. So 2 decades worth of Pluto.
We're
going to
be like
Aquarius.
Dead by the end of it.
Don't say that. Don't say that. My goodness. We're still young chickens. so wait. What, Stacey M., what is Pluto in charge of? What is that planet charged with ruling?
When you think about Pluto, think transformation. Think death, rebirth. It's bringing up the darkness, the shadow. It's, you know, Dark Night of the Soul, Inanna moving through the underground. It's all the icky things that we don't want to really face, but Pluto's like, we have to face it. So we face the darkness and the darkness in the sign. And the sign that we're going to look at the dark side of Aquarius. So Pluto in Aquarius is about our humanity and the dark sides of humanity. We think Aquarius is also connected to innovation, technology. So artificial intelligence is going to be one of the things that we face. We're already seeing this right now with like ChatGPT. And
I hope we don't get into like an Arnold Schwarzenegger and the movie Terminator situation when the robots.
Well, anything is possible. But a thing that we have to remember with Pluto and Aquarius is about our humanity and connecting our mind to our heart, because Aquarius can be this very heady, very intellectual energy. But the opposite, Leo, is all about the heart. So we want to connect that opposite energy of Leo and come bringing mind and the heart together. But there will be darkness because it's Pluto. So,
yeah, I feel like it's bringing up, it's churning up a lot of things, this shift, this transit.
Yeah.
And that it's definitely rising that energy and anxious feelings to a lot of people. So what advice do you have for people as they're navigating this. And I know that you took a lot of notes in preparation of this, which is great. So guys, you can book time with Stacey Ann for a personal astrology reading because she's so insightful and it's fascinating. So you can book private one-on-ones. But we asked her to kind of focus on the summer highlights of what's happening on the broader scale. So,
yeah. So, if you have any personal planets, if you're Aquarius rising, any personal planets in Aquarius, or if you're Aquarius rising, definitely book a reading because it's going to impact you personally. Mm-hmm. You know, these slower moving planets, they're collective energies that we all go through. But if they touch a specific point in your natal chart, they will impact you even more directly. So, yes. And Pluto is one of those planets where you take yourself to the therapist when Pluto touches a sign. So,
well, listen, Pluto was in Capricorn, and I'm a Capricorn rising. So I just went through this whole thing. So,
so please share.
If you have Aquarius in your big three, I mean, it was a complete change of my entire life, right? So it was what, from 2008, right?
Yes.
I can tell you, like, the person that I was versus the person I am now, it's completely different, but it's not a difference that's to be mourned. So while I understand the anxiety because change is scary, I have evolved for the better through Pluto and Capricorn. So,
because you do finally make it back into the light.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a dark time, but you do make it out to the light and you're stronger for it.
But I don't even necessarily, like, there were moments of dark times. There was certainly a dark night of the soul or two in there, right? Yeah. But it was more so like a stripping away of really what wasn't me. Mm-hmm. What wasn't truly and authentically me, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you get to the end of it, it's almost like all the masks through all those years are like forced to be sort of broken and shed. Mm-hmm. And I, like, the way I saw it was like, I was like trying on all these versions of myself. And I was like, nope, like this doesn't fit, that doesn't fit, this doesn't fit. And then when you get to the end of it, you're like, oh, I could finally say like the me that I am at the end of that Pluto and Capricorn is like the most authentic version of me that I could be.
It's like an elated version. Yeah. So it's that death and rebirth of the Phoenix rising.
Yeah.
Because you shed everything that's not in alignment and you emerge out of that, those trials and tribulations, stronger and wiser and better.
But I wish I would have had the insight because when Pluto moved into Capricorn in 2008, I wasn't really paying attention to astrology. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have somebody like you to be like looking at my chart and be like, okay, so like here are some things to pick up because obviously what that looked like for me is going to be different than what it looks like for somebody else.
Yep. Absolutely.
Which is why, like, if you do have Aquarius and your sun, moon, or rising, maybe you would want to sort of see what this transit's going to, like, look like for you.
Right. And the great thing about astrology is that you have a start, a beginning, middle, and an end. It eventually does end.
Yeah.
So it's helpful to know when you're going through something that feels never ending that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely, you know, contact your favorite local astrologer.
And you could do it. You could do it virtually too. Yeah. You don't have to just be in person for it. But okay, so what else can we expect during the summer? Because I know we have limited time and a lot of activity happening. So, what else should we know about summer highlights happening astrologically?
All right, so Neptune, another transpersonal planet, slow moving. It was in Pisces. It's been officially in Aries since March 30th. It will go back a little into Pisces during the fall, but for now it is in early degrees of Aries. And this is about in pursuit of a new dream, right? And so when you're... Neptune in Aries is all about your agency. It's all about creating what you want for that new life. And, you know, anything outdated, hopefully you've left that behind.
Right.
And hopefully there's a dream that you had when Neptune was in Pisces that you're going to now take forward when Neptune's in Aries to start doing the courageous act of moving towards that dream. And yeah, you know, it won't be easy because like Neptune is about illusion, delusion, confusion. So it's, you know, it's going to take time for you to build that dream. But you do have some help and some help from Saturn. And Saturn will enter Aries on May 24th. And Saturn concretizes. Saturn helps ground that energy of Neptune in Aries and helps to focus that energy as well. And during the summer, Saturn and Neptune will get really close, but they won't come into exact conjunction until February 20th of next year. But they kind of get really close and cozy with each other at that early degrees of Aries. Hmm. And so, you know, watch for that during the summer to, you know, help focus what that dream is, that new beginning that you want to take forward to come these next few years.
So would you say it's a good time to be journaling and dreaming and goal setting and trying to manifest and bring something into fruition between now and then, because then the energy is going to be favorable to help bring that to fruition?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
And especially during July. So July put a theme of reflection, refinement, and preparation, and to take it slow, because both Neptune and Saturn will be retrograding during that month. We also have a Mercury retrograde during that month. So it's a great time to, you know, reflect and refine and take some pause. So you're very conscious about what it is that is what's coming up with these two planets in Aries for you and how to really work with it going forward. And you have time. Neptune is in Aries for 12 years, so you'll have time.
Wow.
There's no rush, even though it is Aries, and Aries does want to like get it going and rush, but you have time.
Well, Neptune is a lot of blurred lines,
yes,
the way I understand it, but Saturn brings structure and discipline. So them coming close together, I think that that's interesting because I think Saturn brings a structure or a little bit more support.
Absolutely.
Than you would normally have. So, and Aries is the fire starter, the real, like the oomph that you need to help push it forward. So I think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
when Neptune starts doing things, whatever my chart is specifically, energetically, it comes through to me as static electricity, like static. Just like think of like television, like that's not static electricity, like static on like an old fashioned television, like so like that confusion, like that, like it's not dreamy for me. It's more like like irritating.
Mm-hmm.
So and it'll come out of nowhere where I'll feel it, and then I'll be like, what the hell is Neptune doing? Mm-hmm. Like, I know this is the feeling of Neptune for me.
Yeah.
And it makes me cranky, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's a little cranky for me. Mm-hmm. But so we're gonna be doing some breathing exercises through this one, I think.
Yeah, and I think Neptune's also great for creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that you can do that's not so structured, it's great for play as well.
Yeah.
So create and play during this time. I think that's going to be really, really helpful. Don't try to control this energy because it's very loosey-goosey.
Okay.
But yeah.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
All right. What else should we expect over the summer months?
All right. So I want to talk about Jupiter, our favorite, the benefic, good luck, expansion. So Jupiter is going to move into Cancer on June 9th. And Jupiter and Cancer, so you could count back 12 years ago and get that similar energy. And Jupiter in Cancer is all about emotional resonance and connecting to the people, places that feel really nourishing and good for you and in a very expansive way. And how do we care for each other as a community, a human community? It's going to be some lovely energies because there's going to be a lot of fire energy and a lot of air, and Jupiter is going to be in this watery, emotional, intuitive, nurturing sign, so it's going to be quite different. But it's helping us kind of get our emotions on track, on board with what the new thing is going to be with Neptune and Aries. So, you know, sometimes you get full of feelings and then feelings get you stuck and then you can't move forward. Well, Jupiter in Cancer will help you like sort through some of those feelings and work through them so that you could like really move forward.
As a Capricorn rising, Jupiter in Cancer terrifies me, actually. It's a lot of emotional mess is what I would consider that.
My rising,
it could be.
Yeah. Could my rising sign is Sagittarius, which is ruled by Jupiter. So, like, I love that. I'm all about that. Like, emotions, I'm a lot of air and fire. So, like, I'm comfortable in air and fire. It's the emotions that, like, but I welcome that. I think that that's nice. That'll help make it a little more comfortable and like, feel good.
Yeah. In traditional astrology, Jupiter is exalted in Cancer. So, it is a sign that Jupiter has affinity for. So, you know, it does, it could be more Jupiter in Cancer. So I do expect it to feel good, but if you're not used to all that feeling, it could feel messy, but we need to work with our emotions. We need to work with what makes us feel good.
Yes. But I do need to remind people that just because you're feeling something doesn't mean everybody else needs to feel it too. And it also doesn't mean that your feeling is the only feeling that's being felt by everybody. So if you're, because I think a lot of times when people have big feelings, they think their feeling is like the feeling that everybody's feeling.
Right?
So like what one person could be elated with could be terrifying to somebody else or literally just like blasé to somebody else. Like, you know, think about how when we're in a conversation, something that I might become offended by might literally pass the two of you by and you might not pick up on it at all. So it's sort of something I think to keep in mind because a lot of, I feel like as a society, we're so hyped up on our feelings and our emotions that we forget that they're personal.
They're personal and subjective.
Yes.
And so that is definitely a pitfall of this Jupiter and Cancer energy because we do have to realize that Jupiter is about a truth, a kind of truth. Jupiter and Cancer is subjective truth. Like, I feel this way. It's my truth, but it's not everyone's truth.
Correct.
And that's that you have to be okay with that, that we all feel differently. And so that's something to definitely watch out for.
It's my truth. It's not everybody's truth. I think should be on a bumper sticker.
Yeah. And it's okay if everybody has different feelings about it. That's the beauty of diversity and individualism. And that's the beauty of personal astrology. So there's collective themes that everybody will be affected, especially by the outer planets, but how you react to that is definitely an individual thing. Like Dina and I have Pluto conjunct our sun, which is, so all of these transits with Pluto, we feel it as part of our core because it's so close to our sun. So like death and rebirth and transformation probably is a little bit more comfortable or familiar to us because of that that conjunction.
I love Pluto and I love Saturn.
I do. Well,
I know you don't like Saturn. I love Saturn.
I've come to learn to respect it and I like it a lot more now, but that's a hard life lesson to deal with that sitting on your moon. Yeah. So anyway, that's a different story for a different day. Let's talk.
That's wonderful that you shared that because that is true. Like our charts tell us what is easier for us, what's more familiar for us. And so Plutonic energy is easier, more familiar for you. And someone else who has like Pluto not touching anything really in its chart, in their chart, they might have a harder time with that energy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It could be very scary and intimidating and overwhelming for them. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Very. And so one last thing that I want to talk about is another outer planet changing signs, and that's Uranus. And Uranus will enter Gemini on July 7th, and it's a fundamental disruption in how we receive information, the types of information that we receive. And so, you know, Uranus is shock and awe. It's surprising energy.
Oh boy.
It's breakthrough. And so breakthroughs in how we receive, how we receive information, how we communicate. So everything that has to do with Gemini. You know, throughout history, our country hasn't done so well with this energy, Uranus and Gemini. But we will see. We'll hope for the best with this energy. But personally, it's definitely a great energy to work with, and one that will fuel that Neptune and Saturn energy in Aries as well.
Okay. And then summer.
So wait, I gotta ask.
Yeah, go ahead. Ask. Go
you
for
can't
it. Yeah.
Say historically our country doesn't do well with this
Dina's
energy.
A huge history. And let's go. There.
Give us the
we
tea.
We only have like 5 minutes, but still.
But
let's,
seriously,
let's
I need
hear.
I need to know like yeah. a little. Give me a little. Sprinkling of historically what's happened.
So historically, when Uranus has been in Gemini, we've been at war. So think about the world wars, and that's typically what I'm referring to.
Around oh boy,
that.
Revolutions.
But, yeah, because Uranus is that energy of revolution and
yeah.
major change, and just where it sits in the U.S. So each country has its own birth chart. So it's a different branch of astrology called mundane astrology, where we look at political events and, you know, speak to them based on different countries' charts, and it's super fascinating. It's an area that my school, the Mayo School of Astrology, does. They do a lot of work in that area, so it's really interesting. And I love history as well. So,
and we Gemini is thought and communication. So definitely, there's a lot of revolution happening in terms of. There's disruption in the way that we communicate, in the way that we interact with each other, with social media, across political lines, across social interaction lines, friendship. So I think it's probably going to be witnessed across many different aspects of society at large, right? Not just politically, but also just societally.
Yes, absolutely.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
All right, well, yay.
tread lightly, my friends.
All right.
So, yeah, in closing, are there any other final tips or words of advice that you want to highlight or share with our listeners?
I would say, you know, it's exciting. These are exciting times. These are major eras of change. And, you know, we've done this before. We've been here before. And just, I think that the more we could approach things in a very positive way, the more we could look at what we're doing ourselves and work on our own personal issues, we could, you know, make this really transformational. So this summer it's a big one. It's not something to take lightly, but it's not scary. It's exciting.
I think that's great. Guys, for those of you that are interested in learning more, I highly recommend booking an appointment with Stacey Ann. It can be virtual, it can be in person. Stacey Ann will dive into your natal chart and glean your strengths, potential challenges, personality, indicators. Mm-hmm. You can articulate it better. But Dina and I were blown away. We individually had our charts read, and what she was able to glean was fascinating and empowering and enlightening. So right now we currently have twice a month dates that you can book private appointments. And if neither of those dates work for you, please reach out and we can look to try to accommodate a different time. But it's just really empowering and insightful. So
make cool. the most of the summer. And just listen, right?
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's big changes, but like Danielle has always said, like, you don't have to boil the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And remember to breathe and drink your water.
Yeah.
Hydration always helps.
And you can only control what's in your personal power to control. And then at a certain point, you got to, like, give it up to God and say, like, all right, well— you know, this is what I can do today, and tomorrow's going to be another day. So right. we're just going to go step by step.
And you know what's in your personal power to control? How you react to stuff.
That's it.
Absolutely. That's it.
That's all we have.
That's all we have. So, you guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Stacey Ann, thanks for coming and giving us the sort of look ahead on what to expect this summer. And we will see you guys. Make sure you follow us on all the social medias at Amityville Apothecary. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to us today. We look forward to connecting with you again soon, so be sure to come back for the next episode.
And make sure to follow us on social media. It's the fastest way you can get in touch with us at Amityville Apothecary, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And of course, like, subscribe to this podcast. We are eternally grateful for your support.